You've used your skills to successfully download the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. Turning your workplace experience into a nationally recognised qualification could also be tax deductible with the help of Skills Certified.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush,
you cannot be serious.
I've got to sit here every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
This is the moment. It's Archer to Guptill. 2-1. Guptill's going to push for 2. They've got to go. It's got to throw. It's got to go to the keeper's end. He's got it. England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins. By the barest of all margins. Absolute ecstasy for England. Agony. Agony for New Zealand.
Oh, that was the final moments of what has got to be one of the most remarkable finishes in the history of all cricket, regardless of forms. Liam Flanagan here. This is the Rush Hour. No MG this week. The big fella's taking a much-earned break off, but instead we have the Cronulla Sharks co-captain, Wade Graham, in the chair. G'day, Wado.
G'day, Liam. Thanks for having me, mate. One Westie out, one Westie in,
eh? Absolutely. That is the rule of thumb here at the Rush Hour, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Hey, Brad Arthur, the coach of the Parramatta Eels, is going to join us. The Parramatta Eels just ticking along nicely. They jumped to sixth after the win yesterday.
Yeah, they're going well. It was a big performance for them at Bank West. Benji's 300th up against the, you know, tough Tigers team. So they got the job done and they're looking good heading into the back end of the year.
Absolutely. Brad Arthur's going to join us just after 6:30. We're going to give you the opportunity to ask Wade Graham any question you'd like. We're going to open up the phones, Wade, and you are going to play a straight bat and answer as many of these questions as you can.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you get some really good questions.
All right,
we got a jersey for the best question.
You're going to get to give away an NRL jersey of the listeners choosing who asked what you deem to be the best question.
Well, hopefully it's a Sharkies jersey.
I'm not going to let you play favourites. But up next, we need to talk about this Cricket World Cup because, to be perfectly honest, I didn't understand how the rules works.
Yeah, neither do I. It was absolute scenes, mate, at the end there. How heartbreaking for New Zealand to go down like that. And obviously on the other side of the coin, ecstasy for England, as the commentator said.
Absolutely. We're going to get Trent Copeland, New South Wales Blues player, to join us next to explain how the hell this countback system worked and whether or not New Zealand were robbed. It's the Rush Hour. No MG, Wade Graham, WG, on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. No Mark Guy this week. Wade Graham, co-captain of the Cronulla Sharks, in his place today. Let's do this.
Trending now.
Goes again. Can he give the strike away? This is a big moment. They've got to run. They go to the other end. Oh, he gets in the way. This is going to go all the way to the boundary off the bat. It has! I do not believe what I've just seen!
And it'll go down as six, and Ben Stokes cannot do anything about it.
That was the moment that New Zealand-born Ben Stokes essentially won the World Cup for his country of representation, England. Did you watch the game last night?
I didn't watch the game, but I've seen the highlights since, and we're absolute scenes there.
I still can't understand some of it. So we need to bring in a man who hopefully has all the answers for us. He's part of Channel 7's cricket coverage. Logie nominated, best newcomer on air as well. Trent Copeland from the New South Wales Blues. G'day, Trent.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, going well. Just finished Blues training today, but I'm still settling down after last night. Just two amazing sporting contests, not only the Cricket World Cup final, but also the Federer-Djokovic absolute classic as well.
Mm. Yeah, that was a classic too. We might have to talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll move on to that later.
With this countback situation, for me, I feel like it should go to wickets. Now, I know England lost all their wickets compared to the New Zealand. So why does the countback go to boundaries and not to wicket?
Well, you know what? I want to go a step further and say it shouldn't be any of those bloody columns. It should be another super over. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I've just finished writing an article, actually. Waking up this morning, I just couldn't help myself. Quite passionate about big sporting events. I'm a cricket nuffy, obviously, but it's all sports. And I think, could you imagine the Masters at Augusta not playing a playoff hole, or last night in the Wimbledon final, Federer and Djokovic just after, you know, being at 6-6 in the fifth, just going, oh, you know what, let's stop there. Who's served the most aces?
Yeah,
come on. Like, seriously, what's after 7 weeks of cricket in the World Cup final, we then go to a countback on boundaries? I mean, come on, seriously. I think, you know, both teams shouldn't be begrudged for this. They were just playing to the rules, and I think ultimately England were the better team across the entire tournament. The last 18 months, they've been the benchmark. But two teams were at the top of their game last night. Arguably the greatest ODI of all time in such a big pressure moment. It was just a real shame that it had to come down to that.
Trent Copeland literally coming off the long run. He does it at state level, but he's literally coming off. I like it, Trent. Looking back on it now, seeing the way the final played out, do you think Australia missed an opportunity there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think India also missed a big opportunity. The two teams that finished at the one and two spot in the standings, at the end of the day, the dangerous element of Australia not finishing at number one where they should have was playing against ultimately the best team on their any given day in England, and they played their best game against us. That's World Cup sport. I mean, the guys will be getting into Ashes preparation, but, I mean, man, you've got to think to yourself, had we been able to take on New Zealand in that final, could we have done it? I think we would have been well-suited to the conditions.
Do you think this is, leading into a series, probably the worst possible result for Australia, going out, bowing out early in the semi-final, and then England going on, to winning the World Cup, so they're going to be, pretty up for the upcoming series?
No, I tell you what, the Barmy Army won't shut up for the next couple of months, that's for sure. Look, I don't think England need any more momentum going into an Ashes campaign than what they've got out of this tournament. I think playing at home through the middle of the tournament, they were under real pressure. The tabloids were getting into them. They were starting to reference the tabloids in interviews and things like that when the chips were down. And for them to come back and fight through that and then go on and win the tournament, I think it says, and particularly to beat Australia in that big game in the semi-final, I think it goes a long way towards what their belief's going to be like throughout this Ashes campaign. The thing that I think we've got on our side is that we've got a bloody good squad to pick from.
Hey, Trent, before we let you go, and the first Ashes test, about 2 weeks away, 1st of August, the first test kicks off. No doubt we'll speak to you again before then. I've got to ask, because I'm a big fan of this bloke, I said Mitchell Pearce was the Matthew Wade of State of Origin. He kept putting the runs on the board. Eventually, he got his crack in Game 3. Will Matthew Wade get a sniff in this Ashes series?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't seen it, the Australia A side overnight playing against the England Lions churned out another 100, Matty Wade. I mean, it's got to be up towards 20 hundreds in all formats the last 18 months. It's much like Mitchell Pearce, his form in Newcastle Knights colours this year, it was just irresistible. And it, in my opinion, age should not matter. It does not matter. Pick the team to win the game in front of you on that day.
Well,
if there's a 37-year-old that's the best person for that day, pick him. It goes the same for an 18-year-old. If they're good enough, they are old enough.
That's said by a 33-year-old Trent Copeland. Trent, we appreciate your time, and we will speak to you ahead of the Ashes series, which kicks off in a couple of weeks. Copes, we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers. Thanks for having me, guys. Good luck with that hammy, Wade.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Trent Copeland just sucking up a little bit, Wade, I think, there.
Oh, what a good fella.
Yeah, absolutely. He is a good fella, and he goes all right on Channel 7 coverage as well. All right, we've got to switch gears now from cricket to talk some rugby league, because, Wade Graham, we've got to talk about the Gold Coast Titans. And more importantly, up next, I'm going to get you to answer the question, what would it take to get you to the Gold Coast Titans?
All right, I'll have to have a think.
Oh, no, you've got a 3-year deal in place with the Sharkies. This is more of a hypothetical. Up next, it's the Rush Hour with Wade Graham, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M, Liam Flanagan here, joined in the co-host chair today by Cronulla Sharks co-captain Wade Graham. We're just getting a bit of smoke blown up the proverbial by Trent Copeland just before about the New South Wales Blues. How is the hamstring quickly?
Yeah, it's not great. It's not ideal to be injured again. Very frustrating, but I'm working hard, straight back into rehab today, and I'll be doing my best to get back out in the field as soon as possible.
All right, Sharkies fans and rugby league fans, your chance to ask Wade questions about anything. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Brad Arthur, the coach of the Parramatta Eels, will join us as well. But before all that, we need to discuss the Gold Coast Titans. This is Titans Executive Chairman Dennis Watt after the club let go Garth Brennan, the coach. And this is what he had to say on the weekend.
You know, we're in no doubt that this is it. You know, this is the last stand. You know, we have to get it right. You know, there are plenty of other people, banging on the door who would, probably like to launch teams elsewhere.
Wade, we'll get to the issue of whether the Titans stick around, whether they need to be moved and all the rest of it, but what is it like when you go and play against the Gold Coast Titans up on the Gold Coast?
Well, they have a good squad. They have a squad that really competes on everything. They never really beat themselves, but just at times, throughout the game, where you need that little bit extra, that final pass, that bit of class to get the team over the line, they've just failed this year, and they've had to deal with injuries. They've had to deal with people missing. Obviously, a lot of scrutiny from the outside, and then things haven't clicked. And it's a harsh business at times, NRL, and unfortunately, Garth Brennan has been on the end of it.
Well, it's been widely speculated by a lot of media that he was going to be let go at some point. It looks as though Mau Meninga, who's the head of performance and culture with the club, has finished his 7-week review, and that's the decision they've come to. Now, Kevy Walters has ruled himself out of the coaching gig. A lot of people thought he was the front runner for it. As a player, is the coach, they say that this is the last stand, is the coach the be-all and end-all for you? Like, would the coach matter for you, or is it about other factors as well?
Oh, it's almost the most important thing, the coach to start with. This is the guy who you're playing with or playing for, who has the plan, obviously recruits the players, picks the team. For me, they have the first piece of the puzzle in Mau Meninga. Mau's an immortal as a player. We've seen the success he had with Queensland, the success he's had with Australia. He's done it all. He knows what winning looks like. So the next piece of the puzzle is finding the right coach. And I lean towards someone with experience, who understands what it takes, the pressure of the NRL, the week in, week out grind, the scrutiny that comes with it. And obviously he's walking into a big job there, just as we heard of the directors of the Gold Coast there. So the coach is the biggest factor now. They need to get this decision right. They need to find someone who can really sell the vision to whoever he's trying to recruit to the club. He needs to, have a plan, and he needs to, be able to sell the steps, what it takes, the steps in his plan that are doable to make the vision come true. So that's what he needs. That's what they need to have.
Well, the recruitment has been, I guess, questionable. Look, they've, what Garth Brennan's probably lived and died by is the Bryce Cartwright and Tyrone Peachy, and who haven't necessarily panned out as he would have liked. It's unfortunate that the bloke they're paying $1 million a year, reportedly Ash Taylor, is currently out for personal reasons. But you're on a 3-year deal with the Sharkies. Unless, hypothetical situation, you get to the end of this deal with the Sharks and Mau Meninga comes and knocks on your door or rings you or texts you and says, Wade, I want to get you up to the Gold Coast. What's it going to take?
Oh, I think, like I just said before, it's going to take a vision and a realistic plan to see that vision, to have that, explain how that vision is going to come true. For me, you need stability in the club. Stability obviously makes it very attractive for other players to come to. We spoke about the guys that Garth Brennan recruited, and it's hard when you recruit a lot of guys into the one club because it takes a while to gel. It takes a while for, the identity of the team to really form itself. And in a season of the NRL where it is results driven, when you don't win on the weekend, the pressure turns on. If you don't win again, it continues to pile on. And then all of a sudden we're in this situation now where they're going to have to find a new coach. The new coach is going to want to either work out the team, maybe recruit some new guys, and you start that whole process again. So it's no secret where you look at the clubs like the Melbourne Storm, the Roosters, who have had so much stability within their coaching ranks and their playing roster that you see continued success on the back of it.
Mm. Well, a club that is experiencing a little bit of success at the moment, on a little bit of a roll, they sit sixth on the NRL ladder, had a good win yesterday against the West Tigers, is the Parramatta Eels, and their coach Brad Arthur joins us next. The Rush Hour with Wade Graham today on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
30-18 victory, the Parramatta Eels over the West Tigers at Bankwest Stadium. They now sit sixth on the ladder, with a nice run home too over the final eight games. A man who may have cast his eye that far forward is the coach of the Eels. He joins us on the line now, Brad Arthur. G'day, Brad.
Afternoon, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Brad. How are you, mate? Must be pleased with the result yesterday. Obviously a big game for the Tigers. Benji's 300th. A lot to play for, but you boys got it done.
Yeah, I was particularly pleased with our approach and our mentality to the game. You know, like, we're a team that can, you know, score plenty of points, but we feel like, you know, we need to pull the trigger all the time and got to learn to, you know, earn the right and build pressure, and taking a couple of those early shots at penalty goal when we hadn't had many opportunities down there. You know, we probably in the past might have said, well, you know, let's have a crack, and we went away and had those shots and come back and got down, earned the right to get down in good field position, put a couple of good tries on before half time. So it was a real lesson and education for us yesterday.
Can you talk us through the dynamic of sharing the stadium with the Tigers? I know you've faced them there before this year, but was it any different in your prep? Were you in the away sheds this time? What's it like? Do you just treat it like another home game because you obviously play there every second weekend? I've never experienced something like that as a player before. What's it like for you boys?
Yeah, it felt like a home game. You know, like, there was a fair share of our crowd there. Obviously, there was probably a few more Tiger supporters, but we had the same shed. The only thing we probably didn't get to do, which is normal through the week, is a captain's run. But everything was the same, and we enjoy playing there. And, you know, we need to, whether it's our home game or the Tigers, we need to make sure we earn the right to bring the crowd into it.
Hey, you sit six on the ladder. Does the contract turmoil from earlier in the season feel like a lifetime ago now, with yourself and the conjecture around whether Clint was going to stay at the club and Mitchell Moses and all the rest of it?
Oh, you know, everyone likes, we like to say that stuff shouldn't play on our minds, but clarity and certainty is a big thing in our game for players. And, you know, what, because we're talking about players' livelihood, their future, you know, they've got families to worry about. So with all that put to bed, I think it's, you know, real clarity and direction for the club moving forward. We've still got a couple of boys that are off contract that we need to sort through. But, you know, I think that helps. And, you know, the boys happy off the field obviously makes my job a lot easier.
Absolutely. Now, Clint Gutherson, his first experience in camp with New South Wales, didn't get a crack at the Origin level, but did you notice he brought a new level of confidence back with him?
Yeah, Gutho's a pretty confident player anyway, and, you know, he's pretty diligent with his preparation. He said that he learned a lot from the playing group in there, in particular Teddy. You know, he said Teddy was very good for him, giving him a few pointers, so that's always pleasing, you know, for players to come back and gain that experience. But the other player for us is Fergo. You know, he aimed up for us the week before in Canberra on the back of a State of Origin performance, you know, come up with a clutch play in the Origin game the other night, and then come up with a couple of really good plays for us yesterday. So his experiences throughout that rep scene has really paid the way for us as a club.
I'm glad you brought up Fergo, Brad, because I wanted to ask about him. Now, every footy fan can see what he brings on the field for you, but can you fill everyone in what he does off the field? Obviously, he's a character. He's great to have around the club, especially in the hard times. He backs himself on the field and at training all the time. Can you tell the influence he has on the other players there just through the week-to-week training?
Yeah, look, he's someone that I enjoy coaching. He's someone that the players love to play with. But just know he's got your back, regardless of the situation or backs against the wall or if you're going good. He's just a man's the same. In terms of the intensity and energy he trains with and then plays with. But then away from that, you know, he's quite opposite. He sort of probably takes a lot of energy out of me, but he gives a lot back to the team. And, you know, whatever he does that, and that's what we pay him for, to get the job done for 80 minutes every week on the field, and he's doing that. So, you know, I really enjoy having him around the club, and he's a really good bloke.
Is he taking dance lessons on the side, Brad? Because he did it inside of Origin Game 3, and he did it again for you on the weekend. His work down the sideline is nothing short of ballet-esque.
Yeah, I'm sure there's tries there that just some blokes can't probably score, and he just finds a way to score them. And, you know, that's what we brought him for, to finish off and know those big moments. He done it for the Origin team on Wednesday, and he done it for us yesterday.
Brad Arthur, we appreciate your time. We'll chat to you soon.
Thanks very much, guys.
Brad Arthur, the coach of the Parramatta Eels there. Wade Graham, time for me to ask you some questions and the audience to ask you some questions.
I'm a bit nervous, to be honest.
You should be. 133353. We are opening up the lines. If you've got a question for Wade Graham, and Wade, you've got an NRL jersey to give away to the question you think, not even, doesn't have to be the best question or the curliest, the hardest question.
whatever it takes. I'll have a listen to the questions first, and then I'll just trust my gut.
Trust your gut. Back yourself in. This is the Rush Hour with WG Wade Graham in on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Call's coming in already, Wade. Feeling nervous?
A little bit. See St. Clair there. Get the St. Clair boy in. That's a Westie.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with WG Wade Graham, co-captain of the Cronulla Sharks, in for MG this week, who's having a well-end week off, Wade-o, despite what some people are saying on social media. The big fella works hard.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's been in for a big period, the origin period.
Exactly.
It takes a toll out of everyone. So
absolutely. I think sure he's taking the week off to celebrate with Freddie and Brandy.
That wouldn't surprise me. They're thicker sleeves, that lot.
Yeah, they are. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. All right, Wade Graham, it is rare that we get current NRL players in here as you are today. So we want to open it up. 133353. If you've got a question you want to throw to Wade Graham, could be about the Sharks, could be about State of Origin, could be about Wade's private life. Wade is going to answer whatever you've got for him. Let's start it with Terry and Terry Hills. Take it away, Terry.
Hi, Wade. Congrats, first of all, on the Origin Series win. It was just outstanding and proud of what you guys achieved.
Thanks, Terry.
Well done. No worries. My question is, what's the funniest or strangest thing that Freddie made you guys do an Origin camp this year that hasn't been released?
Mate, I don't. If it hasn't been released, I can't. I probably can't release it myself. Sorry, but the thing that got me the most was the no shoes in the morning. Now, when we went to Perth, it was bloody cold over there. It was surprising me. But so we're up at 7:30 in the morning, out on the beach with no shoes on, getting hypothermia, and I was like, "Wait, do you want us all to make the game here, or you get us sick?" So that was probably the thing that got me the most. But all his other stuff, breathing techniques, everything like that, it's pretty stock standard these days.
It's pretty run-of-the-mill.
Yeah.
Is Freddie's weirdness maybe a bit of a myth?
It's more his attitude, I say. His cavalier attitude just gets around and he's Freddie.
Jared in Orford's Point, what's your question for Wade?
Hey, Wade. Hey, mate. How you going? First of all, I just want to say, yeah, absolutely congrats on the win in State of Origin. And I think you had an absolutely amazing game in Game 2, so you should pat yourself on the shoulder for that one.
Oh,
so,
thanks, Jared. Thank you.
No worries. My question is, mate, I was just wanting to know who's probably the most influential player you've ever played with in your NRL career?
Good question.
That's a good question. For me, Jared, that's a no-brainer for me. That's Paul Gallen. He's been the captain of our club for a long time. It's part of the reason I went to Cronulla in the first place. And, you know, we went through some tough times there for a long period. And, you know, he was always rock solid. He always led from the front and... you know, he's influenced me the most and probably taught me the most about how to carry myself off the field and, you know, just to get on with the job. So, yeah, easily, Gow.
And if he hurries up and retires, you'll get to captain the club by yourself.
You know the worst thing now, he's going to hear this and I'm not going to hear the end of it. So, yeah, that's Gow.
All right. Thanks, hey, now, good question, Jared. Stick around because, Wade, you do have to decide which question you like the most. We're going to give an NRL jersey of the person's choosing to the rest of the calls we get on. Stop buttering up Wade with, well done in State of Origin, in the hopes that he's going to pick your question. Adam in Northride.
Yes, g'day, Wade, Liam. How are we today?
Good, thanks,
mate. Good, Adam.
Very good. Mate, question for you. When you got the phone call in 2008 to make your debut against the Dragons, I think it was, round 17, you were a schoolboy. How did you get the call and where were you?
It wasn't actually a phone call. So I'd been training with the top squad for a couple of weeks previous, and then I was at training, and we just finished a session, and Matty Elliott called me into his office, and he said, "You're going to play this week, kid. Are you ready to go?" And obviously I was super excited. I was a kid. I was bulletproof and fearless back then, and I remember walking out of the room, and I just couldn't stop smiling. And it's a memory I'll cherish forever. But, yeah, so I didn't actually get the phone call. If I was at school, I probably would have been in trouble for being on my phone, so... I was there in person and, it was a wonderful experience in my life.
Just a follow up. Good question, Adam. Follow up on that. Given that you're at school at the time, outside of trying to crack first grade, what was the other biggest concern in your life?
Oh, that was it, mate. I was that focused when I was a kid. I just had tunnel vision. I wanted to play footy and, you know, fortunately it worked out for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris in St. Clair, take it away. What's your question for Wade?
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. Just hypothetically speaking, not knowing all the success you were going to have at Cronulla, if things happened differently, would you have preferred to stay at Penrith and be a one-club player?
Oh, yeah, definitely, mate. As a kid growing up, like I just said, I had tunnel vision when I was a kid, and all I wanted to do was play footy, and all I wanted to do was play for Penrith. I remember sitting on the hill in 2003 as a teenager, watched every game that year, and I saw the boys win the comp. So, as a dream, that's all I wanted to do. Unfortunately, the game doesn't work out in fairy tales all the time.
Yep.
You know, it would have been great to stay at Penrith my whole career. My family still lives out of Blacktown. I'm still out there very regularly. But it wasn't to be. So, yeah, good question, but.
Yeah, all right. Well, Wade, we come to the end of Ask Wade Graham, so you got to pick your favourite question.
Well, I'm going to have to give it to Terry Hills because I couldn't really reveal all that much to him, so I feel like I've let him down, but it was a good question.
All right, Terry, well, who's your rugby league team?
Manly boy.
Okay, no. We'll have to pick someone else. No.
I'm sure you like the Trebojevic's.
Oh, two bigger gentlemen you wouldn't meet.
Congratulations, Terry. We've got, presumably, you're after a Manly Seagulls jumper. We'll sort one of those out for you. Wade, stick around, because I want to go back to the origin period. There's some questions I want to ask coming up next. The Rush Hour with WG Wade Graham, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M, Liam Flanagan here, joined by Wade Graham, the co-captain of the Cronulla Sharks. Wade, have you enjoyed your time in place of the big MG?
I always enjoy my time when I come on here with you, Liam.
Oh, good. It's nice to have you in here. It's actually, you're a fairly imposing unit, but you're not quite as big as MG, so it's nice to be out there. I don't have to have the desk up as high, all that sort of stuff. It's good.
Oh, I haven't met too many people who are as high as MG. Oh.
Look, I know he's on holidays, but we'll move on. Hey, I don't know if you've heard this before, but this was the final moment of State of Origin Game 3.
Out to Ferguson, runs down the sideline. He's ankle tap, but he stands his ground, throws it into the Nadeska. 15 out, takes the easement, goes to the line, scores! New South Wales win! New South Wales win with a try with 27 seconds to go!
Wow, you're a little bit of tingles then.
You did?
That back, yeah. Nah, it's quite ironic how it worked out, really, in the final moments there. It's, you know, it's good to get one back on Queensland.
The Queensland-like victory for New South Wales. You were unfortunately sitting on the bench icing your hamstring, but what was going through your head in those last sort of 15, 10 minutes of that game?
Yeah, well, the period I had on the field was when we scored the two tries, and I felt I was starting to really get momentum then, and then unfortunately I got hurt and had to come off. But when I come off, I was really comfortable and confident within the boys because we had that momentum. And then just a couple of plays, Queensland wrestled that momentum back, and then they scored once, they scored twice, and when Ethan Lowe kicked the goal, I was like, oh, we're on here. And then as it worked out, the boys got the job done in something that's, you know, going to be remembered for a long, long time now.
I want to jump forward to next year, State of Origin. Blues have just won the last two. Can you give me a couple of names of New South Wales players you think might be pushing for a spot in that squad?
Definitely. Obviously, the obvious ones are the guys who were there during this series, the Latrell Mitchells, the Nick Kotricks, Payne Haas. And another guy who jumps out is Luke Keary, who missed out because of the injury before. And all these guys, for different reasons, whether it be injury or timing, missed out these years. But these guys, I feel like, will be really banging on the door next year.
Yeah. It's interesting. I asked this of Brad Fittler. We had him on the day after Game 3. For so long it is, or for the last, you know, however many years where Queensland have been so dominant, it feels like the rhetoric and the talk is that Queensland are more passionate about State of Origin, and Queensland players always play better when they're in that jumper, and, Queensland pick and stick. Do you feel like the last two series are starting to turn the tide back towards New South Wales from some of those talking points?
Yeah, a little bit. I feel, it was a much different feel. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes since the last time I was involved in Origin back in 2017, but it was definitely a different feel within our camp. Obviously, can't speak for Queensland camp, but for our camp, when I came in to camp on the first day of Game 2, straight away, you could feel the difference.
Mm.
The way Freddie was speaking and Brandy was speaking, they'd placed a set of expectations on you as a player for being in the team, and you knew exactly what you needed to do in that jersey. And what was expected of you, and It just made it really simple, really, to go out to train and prepare for what they wanted from you, and then to try and execute on the night, which is obviously the biggest thing. The hardest thing to do is to execute on the night.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was a fantastic series, and particularly given the result, it went our way. But now, quickly, before you go, because we're almost out of time, do you just want to reassure Sharkies fans? Because, you know, I don't want to get into it with you, Wade, but you're slowly going the wrong way down the ladder.
Oh, yes.
Are things going okay?
We're going through a really tough period, and it's not ideal for us, but, you know, it's all of our own doing at the moment. So we just got to, you know, face the music and cop what we got to cop and just get back to work and work hard and try and, you know, turn it around, because in this game, no one feels sorry for you. So we can't afford to feel sorry for ourselves. We've got to get to work tomorrow and train hard and try and turn this around.
All right. And when are we seeing you back on the field?
As soon as possible, mate. So I've got a few hurdles to jump over first, literally. to get this hemi firing, but I'll be back as soon as I can be.
All right, this has been the Rush Hour with Wade Graham, the captain of the co-captain of the Cronulla Sharks. Sorry, Gal. Thank you for giving us some of your time, Wade.
Anytime, Liam, anytime.
All right, on behalf of MG, I guess I have to do his sign-off. He's Wade Graham, I'm Liam Flanagan. Stay random, Sydney.
You have used your skills to successfully download the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. Turning your workplace experience into a nationally recognised qualification could also be tax-deductible with the help of Skills Certified.